This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This time of year, a good hoodie is absolutely essential. But these days, it's tough to find one that will last through the season. That's why the American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime, so you can count on it to bring you comfort and warmth year after year. Slate Magazine called it the greatest hoodie ever made, and from cotton to zipper, it's made right here in the USA. It's crafted with timeless style, heavyweight fleece, a double-lined hood, and reinforced elbow patches, which means this hoodie can withstand any outing or adventure. It'll be your new favorite hoodie, and you can depend on it for years to come. Plus, buying from American Giant means supporting local communities of farmers, manufacturers, and more. This season, snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life, the American Giant Classic Full Zip, and save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code CLASSIC24 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code CLASSIC24.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Day one, your speaker must address and tackle Amendment 3. Overwhelmingly in Missouri, polls show that Missourians want restrictions on abortions. And yet, with Amendment 3, what do we have? Unrestricted abortion, taxpayer-funded abortion. Oh, and if the person performing the abortion does something and the woman is injured, you can no longer sue. That's what we have. So we have to tackle that, and we will. On day one, we have to address the unelected bureaucracy, the administrative deep state that is so deeply entrenched in Missouri. On day one.
Yeah, that is Justin Sparks, state representative, who would like to challenge, or is challenging, I should say, like to become the next Speaker of the House over John Patterson, who has basically been presumed to be the next Speaker of the Missouri House. The election is coming up just after the first of the year. January 8th, I believe, is the actual date of that. And a number of people are jumping on the side of Justin Sparks here, saying, listen, we need somebody who's going to be a disruptor and get some stuff done in down in Jefferson City. We've got Judy Hahn on the phone right now, member of the St. Louis County Republican Central Committee. And Judy, welcome into the show. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing well. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you. Thank you for giving me a few minutes this morning. I saw this come out late last week. That is the Central Committee endorsing Justin Sparks.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What happened was so much was happening, but basically I just decided to draft a resolution. St. Louis County Central GOP Central Committee has always been committed to the conservative ideals that have been put down in the platform, even in 2020, even if it doesn't state exactly certain things. The spirit of the Republican platform was always format on the St. Louis County Senate,
right.
GOP. So I just decided I would draft a resolution and give them the opportunity to do the right thing. And they did.
And well, I'm glad to hear that. I mean, obviously Amendment 3 is at the top of the page for a lot of us and making sure that's addressed. Clearly, there's a feeling that if the status quo remains as it is, that might not happen. Correct?
Correct. Correct. And that's what tripped my trigger. I've been in politics for well over 30 years and worked hard on the conservative side. Phyllis Schlafly was my mentor. And we've watched over and over again these guys that we work hard to get elected, guys and gals. And then when we get so disappointed, finally, you know, I was fine. You know, the Patterson thing or whatever, okay, that's how it happens in Jeff City. But what really tripped my trigger was two things. One, the loss of Amendment 3, and our loss and their win. And then when Jonathan Patterson told the Chamber of Commerce that day that nothing was going to happen in the legislature, that did it. I knew that I had to give the Central Committee and all of the county committees, if possible, the opportunity to know what actually goes on and to let our public and the people that we represent as committee women and committee men, what's going on in Jeff City, and give them the opportunity to have a voice when it counts.
Yeah, it's true. Judy Hahn is my guest from the Republican Central Committee in St. Louis County. You know, I know people have considered Justin's challenge a bit of a long shot, but it's so frustrating to feel like you have zero control. We've elected these state representatives. We've sent them down there. They're in a supermajority. They ought to be getting some stuff done. And some of them, maybe they need the political cover because, he's starting to pick up more and more endorsements. And between now and January 8th, which is when they'll actually vote on this, what is your action call here for people who are listening to this morning?
Basically, we're just trying to give Justin ammunition, and we're trying to point out the difference between the two men, let the people decide. And what's happening is that people are saying they had no idea how things were going, and we're just saying, hey, call your representative and ask him to please vote on January 8th for Justin Sparks. And apparently that's happening. So that's the main thing.
It is amazing, and I'm glad to see you guys standing up for Justin. He's a great guy. He's a motivational speaker if you've never heard him talk, and he's passionate. I mean, he's his strength is his passion, and I hope people are paying attention. Judy Hahn, thank you, and Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for your time.
Well, it was my pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, we will. We'll talk soon. Good to get her on here. So, I mean, it is still considered a long shot, but here's what you need to understand. If having somebody in that role who will push back against the establishment belief that, well, Amendment 3 happened and there's nothing we can do about it, if that's frustrating to you, call your state representative and tell them you want somebody who's going to stand up to that. John Patterson has made it pretty clear he has no intention of trying to put this back on the ballot or modify it somehow so that we don't have abortion on demand up until birth. And you have an opportunity here to have somebody in the very powerful speaker position who could influence that.
What's so frustrating is a lot of these people in these elected positions, they run on the conservative values. They use all the buzzwords when they're trying to get elected. And then as soon as they're in there, you see a change, right? And they're the ones who are pushing back against a disruptor like Justin Sparks. And all of a sudden, they don't want that because they can't. That doesn't advance their agenda. That's what's very frustrating to me. And I think that's why it's so important that these candidates, when they're running, are so carefully vetted. And I know a lot of, like, for example, the Central Committee, they'll do a lot of that to make sure that
they try.
Actually, right, you know, electing someone who has true conservative values like Justin Sparks. But there's a lot of these, dare I say, snakes who just find their way in.
Well, I think there's an opportunity. I've heard the argument made to me that Justin started too late, that he should have started this effort sooner, and they might have actually had a more legitimate his run would be considered more legitimate by the people that are going to vote on the 8th. But there is a groundswell clearly at the township level and now at the central committees where they're trying to get people to pay attention to this. Maybe they will. We'll keep talking about it. And obviously, we're going to be up there covering opening day of the new legislative session in January. And we will see what happens. My thanks to Judy Hahn again. Coming up, we'll get to real or fake news with one Carl Middleman. And at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk again about what happened in Francis Howell last week. A parent went up and told the board that he's upset with the bathroom policy or the lack of a bathroom policy. He's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Stay tuned.
We are fighting the fake news.
Real or fake?
Fake. Phony. Fake.
News quiz.
It is time for the real or fake news quiz. This is the last one before Christmas. And so what I do is give the people in the studio, Kim St. Ange, Ethan Bright, and Mark Cox, headlines, and they have to tell me if they are real or if they are fake.
Fake. Oh, I'm sorry, we haven't started yet. Go ahead, please. Because Kim's going to say real because I said fake. I know how this works. But
see,
it's okay.
And Kim was so disbelieving last week about Christmas trees that Missouri prefers real Christmas trees because she did a poll of everyone that she knows and they all said they have fake.
I prefer a real Christmas tree, but that doesn't mean I have one.
It's science.
Who has like $90 to drop on a tree every single year and then water the dang thing every year?
Yeah, just go ahead and pay $500 and get a fake one, and then you've got it covered for
forever.
The next 10 years.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Until the lights go out.
Until those lights go out. So Kim won last week, and Kim St. Ange, real or fake, Illinois prefers real trees.
Here we go.
Real or fake?
Fake.
Ethan Bright.
I'm going to go fake.
Mark Cox.
Well, I'm going to go real just because of all the God-loving patriots I know that live in southern Illinois that want to go out and cut their own darn tree down.
Illinois prefers fake trees.
Oh, see, that's Cook County. I know what's screwed that up. Thank you.
Ethan Bright, real or fake, the state of California prefers fake trees.
Oh, here we go again.
Real or fake?
They prefer fake trees?
That's what I said.
I will go real on that one.
Mark Cox.
I'm going to go real on that because it's a state filled with Cook counties.
Kim St. Ange.
I'm going to randomly, they're kind of bougie out there. I'm going to randomly say that's fake. They prefer real trees.
It is real.
Well, darn.
They don't have enough water out there.
Mark Cox.
Fair
yes.
point. Real or fake? The state of Hawaii prefers real trees.
Are we just going with every state here?
No.
How
we
many
are covering
questions
every
like this can we expect?
Single state.
I think he's rubbing it in your
I'm
face.
Doing one for each of you.
My guess is that is fake, Carl, because I don't think they grow Christmas trees out there and on the top of that mountain. So my guess is that the question is, do they prefer
real?
Real. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say that is fake.
Kim St. Ange. You love Mark's reasonings?
Yeah, he makes a good point. I was actually going to say the opposite, only...
just to be the opposite of it?
Just to be the opposite.
But I'll agree with Mark that it's fake.
Ethan Bright.
Three in a row, I'm going with Mark. Fake.
It is fake.
Thank you.
They prefer fake trees. Alaska, on the other hand, prefers...
Well, they got lots
that
of
makes sense.
They got lots of real
That's
Christmas
why
trees
I didn't
out there.
Ask
Thank
that
you.
One.
Thank you.
Real or fake, Kim St. Ange, in New York City, there is a law prohibiting the display of natural Christmas trees in retail stores. Real or fake?
I'll say real.
Ethan Bright.
Yeah, I'll say real.
Mark Cox.
I'd say that's real.
It is real.
Fire hazard.
I was just going to say fire hazard.
There you go. All right.
Ethan Bright. Real or fake? In Philadelphia, there's a law prohibiting natural trees in high-rise buildings.
I'll go real for the same reason.
Mark Cox.
Repeat the question, please.
In Philadelphia, there is a law prohibiting natural trees in high-rise buildings.
I'll go real.
I'll say real because of fire hazard having to evacuate the whole building.
That is true. You are all correct.
Wow. How about
done,
that?
Everybody.
See?
Also, in buildings that are designed to house two or more families. So like apartment
duplex.
Buildings.
Couldn't have a duplex.
Well, yeah, because if your idiot neighbor's not taking care of their tree, they could burn the whole place down.
Thank you. What if there's a squirrel in there or something?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Who's next? I think it's either Ethan or Mark.
I believe it's Mark.
Mark Cox, real or fake, in Arkansas, the sale of alcoholic beverage is prohibited on Christmas Day. Real or fake?
Take your time, Mark.
I'm going to go with fake.
Kim St. Ange.
Real.
Ethan Bright.
I was going to go real.
It is real. You can buy. You can drink them. You just cannot buy them.
At all.
In Arkansas on Christmas Day at all.
I remember when I first moved to Nashville. I think things have changed now, but I tried to buy wine or something on
Blue
a Sunday,
loss.
And they're like, you're not from here, are you? At that time, you could not buy alcohol
yeah,
on a
but
Sunday.
I drove,
well, we did that for a while.
I drove through there on my way back from Florida one time on a Sunday, And you could buy it, but you couldn't buy it till like noon. So I figured there was,
that's how
you could buy it on Christmas Day after noon.
But
you can't.
I remember here, it used to be never.
Right,
then it was, and then they stopped it at midnight on Saturdays, and then they wouldn't let you do it till 10.
I know, it's crazy.
And now we got rid of all that.
Yeah, we're all sots now.
Kim St. Ange, real or fake, in San Diego, you can only have Christmas lights up until Groundhog Day. Real or fake?
I'm going to say real.
Ethan Bright.
I'm going to say real just because I hope it's true.
I'm going with fake. Lots of Hoosiers in Southern California.
It is real. You can be fined up to $250.
In San Diego proper?
In San Diego. You have until February 2nd.
San Diego.
In Maine,
is
it's even
really
worse.
Is that really enforced, though? It's one of those things where they say this is, you're going to get a ticket, but are you really going to get a ticket?
In Maine, it's January 15th.
What if they're really cool lights?
Sure.
Well, they're permanent lights that they sell now.
Ethan Bright. Real or fake, the Frank Sinatra version is more popular than the Michael Bublé version of Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, according to Billboard. Frank, more popular than Michael Bublé.
I'm going to say fake if it's according to Billboard.
Mark Cox.
I will say real.
Fake.
Kim Sinatra. It is fake.
Ah!
Michael Bublé is more popular currently.
That's unbelievable.
I don't know what to tell you. Mark Cox, I'm going to tell you this. Real or fake, the Bing Crosby version is more popular than the Drifters version of White Christmas on Billboard. Real or fake?
Real.
Kim St. Ange.
Real.
I'll go real.
Yet you all love Home Alone, where that is very, but it is Bing Crosby.
Okay, thank you. Has to be.
I know.
Kim St. Ange, real or fake? The Madonna version is more popular than the Eartha Kitt version of Santa Baby, according to Billboard.
Fake.
I am hoping that's fake.
Mark,
I'm going to go with real.
It's fake. The Eartha Kitt is more
famous. It's the Billboard thing that got me. That's Ethan's fault.
But you know who won? Winning. Ethan Bright takes the last one before Christmas. We still have one more before the end of the year. But congratulations, Ethan.
Yeah, congratulations, Ethan.
Way to go, I guess.
Me up with that whole Billboard comment.
I'd like to thank DayQuil for this, since I'm on medicine.
Is this your acceptance speech?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the only one I'm going to get this year, so I might as well take it.
So one more.
Man,
one more before the end of the year. I'm not here next week.
Nor am I. Have fun, Mark.
Yeah, thank you. Hopefully the voice is better by then. They're abandoning me. Coming up, we'll talk to one of the parents in the Francis Howell School District who showed up at the board and asked some questions about the lack of a clear bathroom policy in the district. That's coming up at 7:35. Well, this has been in the news for a while now. We've been talking about what's going on in the Francis Howell School District. I first reported this probably, I don't know, what's coming up on a month ago when some parents were complaining that there was in one of the high schools in Francis Howell a 6 foot, 1 inch, 200-plus pound male routinely using the women's bathroom. It was brought up to the superintendent. Nothing was done about it. It's been brought up to the board on several occasions. And right now, there's not specifically a policy to deal with that. So they had another meeting last week. The situation continues to develop out there. We have David Jaworski on the phone with us. He's a parent in the Francis Howell School District. He addressed the board about this last week, and we wanted to invite him on to talk a little bit more about it. David, welcome in.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing fine, sir. Thank you for giving us a few minutes this morning. Let's talk about What the reaction was, I guess, when you approached the Francis Howell board last week and discussed this issue.
Well, as you've already stated, the issue is started out as a result of finding out that this male had been in the girl's bathroom, and this young girl was confronted. I think it's important to understand that when Dad asked her about this, really just sort of out of the blue, not expecting the answer he got, she tells him about this male coming into the bathroom. And when he says, well, why didn't you say something to me before? She says, I didn't want to be the one.
Yes.
So bottom line is there is a suppression of these of this information getting out to the, even to the school, because the kids are afraid of doing it or of outing these issues or outing these occurrences that are happening. So we're not actually hearing from them. Instead, we're actually hearing from the other side quite loudly. The transgender movement is very active at the school board meetings. And the point of my being there was to kind of get the board to understand the fact that though they may be imagining that by inaction in not acting on a new policy, they're ignoring the fact that they actually do have an existing policy. It's stated right on their doors, male, female.
Yeah.
And well, yet they're not actually enforcing that.
So David,
my point.
No, I'm sorry, not to interrupt, but you have a child in the district?
Yes.
A girl, boy?
Fact, she's a girl, and okay. She's in the same high school as this incident happened. So there's a very much a concern for my own family as well.
I was going to say, so you made a formal request at the school board meeting. So what does that essentially do? Is that a formality? Because you're asking the district to not only elaborate on its policy, but to also enforce it. So are they then required to at least give you some sort of a response, or how does that work?
Well, unfortunately, they're not required to do anything. You know, all I can do as a parent is sunshine this to the community and my frustrations to the board.
Right.
And then ask them to act on it.
So my understanding of it, David, is that the superintendent has part of the process here is to sit down with the superintendent, and if you don't get the action you want, then you go to the board. What have you met with the superintendent? What's his reaction been to this?
Yeah, I mean, the superintendent was certainly open to our conversation. There was three of us that sat down with the superintendent. And he certainly took his time to talk to us about it. But at the end of the day, he understood that this issue really has to be brought before the school board in order for there to be any sort of resolution. So he's not exactly, I think he wants to see something done about it. I can't really tell for sure based upon what he said. But at the end of the day, it really amounted to having to go before the school board and address them and ask them, okay, you know, I want clarification on your position on this for the very reason I'm trying to sunshine the fact that they do have the policy. And right now, the way they're behaving, they're acting as though they don't have a policy, but they do. And by ignoring that, they're actually, their argument in from their side is that, well, there are legal issues that we're going to face square off on with this if we act to enact a new policy. But at the end of the day, they're actually, especially I had a conversation with my attorneys yesterday, and their inaction and not doing something about it is actually setting them up for legal jeopardy, probably even worse than enacting a new policy.
And that is if something was to happen in one of these bathrooms as a result of that, correct?
Well, yeah, or I think one important thing to understand is that the bathrooms are sort of a nexus point, right?
Right.
You have people invading other people's privacy, something that from a cultural standpoint, like forever, we have acknowledged the fact that, you know, this is inappropriate behavior. And so now we have this being pushed on the kids. And remember, they're going to these schools, not in a lot of ways, not by choice. According to Missouri law, they are required to go to school. So these schools are then required for their safety and security. And the reality is the new bathroom policy would not only help the kids that are not caught in the middle of gender dysphoria, but would also keep the kids that are currently experiencing that safe as well.
No, I understand. So, David Jaworski is our guest. He's got a parent. He's a parent, I should say. He has a daughter in the Francis House School District. So this policy, and I do understand that on the part of, you know, some members of the board, and I've heard from Jane Puskar, she's clearly in support of changing this policy or making it more official, more clear. Some of them are concerned because the people you talked about who show up at every meeting, who by far constitute the loud minority who show up at every meeting, stand up and rant and rave and threaten to sue, and it seems like maybe they've intimidated the school district a little bit with that. Would you agree?
Absolutely. There has definitely been an intimidation campaign going on, and I think that the truth is the legal advice that they've been getting from ed counsel and so forth has not been helpful. And I say that with regards to the legal counsel that I've received recently from the I've been working with the Clayton Plaza Law Group, and they're also connected with the Thomas More Society. And they've made it, you know, to them as well as me, this is actually a subject of passion, not just one of, you know, collecting a paycheck.
Right.
So they've been terrific at really pointing out the fallacies that were going down. And my hope is, I understand that the board is afraid of legal action. I get that. But I think that what we may be experiencing here is sort of like, you know, you coming up with symptoms of some illness and you wind up going on Google and you do your own Googling and then you sort of start diagnosing yourself and you come up with, I have purple people eaters disease. And so now I can't move. And, you know, the self-diagnosis, I think, has been something that has been a problem. And I'm hoping that we can get some of the board members, and I've already talked to the Clayton Plaza Law Group about getting these members before them and to actually going through their documentation to try and help them see that maybe they aren't in the legal jeopardy that they think they are based upon where their positions are.
So David, just to be clear, if this is happening in bathrooms, I would assume it's happening in the locker rooms there as well. Your daughter could go into change for gym class and see a fully intact 6 foot, 2 inch male changing in front of her?
Well, yeah, right now, again, the problem is they don't, they're acting as though the policy doesn't exist. It does, but because they're not actually enforcing a policy, it's virtually, you know, you might as well take the signs boy and girl off the door. And that's where we're sitting. Yeah.
David Jaworski, keep us up to date on your efforts here, and I appreciate you sharing it with us this morning.
All right, sir.
Yep. Take care of yourself. Appreciate that. Good to get him on here this morning. One of the perspective of a parent out there who's in the middle of all this. I mean, I don't think it's going to get solved this month. I know there's a lawsuit pending regarding another school district, a policy like this in another district that could be moving forward, something that could spur some action depending on how that goes.
The argument I hear is, well, if you have one unisex bathroom that's a single stall, if it's not convenient for these students, then they're going to be late to class and then they're going to be punished. And so we've even talked to people in the district, maybe some of the school board members who've said, we've already worked that out. We've figured out a way where these students won't be punished if they're a minute late. If they're 5-10 minutes late, let's talk about it. But if they're a minute late because we're forcing them to use the unisex bathroom, the single stall restroom at the front of the school, wherever it's located, let's have some grace for them.
They don't
as long as you enforce the policy.
They don't want equality. They want special treatment. That would be one way to give it to them. Go use the bathroom that we've assigned to you down the hall, and if you're late to class, we're not going to count that against you.
Within reason.
Then you're all good, and the 99.9% of students no longer have to feel put out because of you.
That's a very simple solution to the whole thing. All right, coming up, Kim, what are we whimming about today?
You know, some men, especially more these days, they say they feel like a woman, but now an NFL quarterback has made it a lot easier for you to smell like a woman.
Who are these people? We'll be back in just a minute.
Kim on a whim.
I bet it's fair to say a lot of people are particular when they're picking out their cologne or their perfume because it's something you're wearing every day. It can say something about you. Depending on the scent that you pick. And now the Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson has come out with his latest scent of unisex cologne. It's called Nightlights. And his reasoning for making it unisex is very interesting. And I want you to hear him talking about this.
What made me want to make my own cologne is me just wanting to smell good. Okay, people may not notice about me, but I rather prefer like girl perfume or something, like some real soft. So that's what made me want to create something unisex, you know, instead of just all about us men, you know, I was like, man, I like to smell like a female sometimes, so get something that can, you know, be in between.
Can you describe the scent?
It's perfect. Wonderful, soft, for the women, sexy probably. For the guys, how we be, you know, like a man, so not like.
I'm sorry, what was that? How we be, that's how he describes it? How can you have a scent that smells sexy for the women and also the scent of a man? I don't know. What does that even mean? I thought men like to have something that's like a strong scent, right? When my husband has picked out a cologne, he's not sitting there thinking like, you know what, babe? Can you go find something that has a really soft scent? I really like the feminine smell.
Thank you. Oh, you know, I'm with you. Old English or something like that. It's kind of got that manly smell. Smells like the leather in a saddle that's been ridden for many years.
It's like Axe, right?
Absolutely.
The ultimate man smell.
Yeah.
Every woman... I don't think a woman would want to wear Axe. Would that not bother you if you wore a unisex cologne? I'd be curious to see how well this does sales-wise.
So I have
maybe
a couple
just
questions.
Name recognition from Lamar Jackson will make it sell. I don't know
Lamar personally. I don't know much about him. I know he's a quarterback for Baltimore. I know he's really good. Is he married?
That I don't know. Let me look it up.
Because maybe he's doing it to attract women.
But would that really attract women if you're where if you, he is saying no? It sounds like he has a girlfriend. If you're wearing a scent that you're describing as a feminine soft smell, would that attract women?
I don't know. I'm not a woman.
I know, but you could smell like one now.
What's that?
You could smell like one now.
Maybe it's a familiar scent to her, and therefore it would attract them more. I've never awakened and said I want to feel more like a woman, so I can't really relate to that. I mean, I don't make the kind of money that Lamar does, but maybe that changes your perspective.
But you make close the salary,
oh, yeah, I'm
right?
Sure, I'm
just
sure.
A little less.
I'm sure, yeah.
Don't you wonder if unisex cologne, these scents are going to become more popular in light of the way culture has gone? Is that going to be the new thing that we can't differentiate between man and woman and that we just say, you know, let's create unisex shirts and pants? And you,
no.
Because the girls are the ones who have the pockets, right? Or no, the girl pants, the slacks don't have the pockets, right?
Mama,
in the back?
Mama, we're making America masculine again. Donald Trump just got elected, and I'm a big fan of the mama movement.
I like the mama. I had not heard of that yet.
It's the mama movement. We're going to make America masculine again.
We've had MAFA lately, make American feminine.
I know.
Again.
Thank you.
That's what it's been for the last 4 years.
Remember the whole toxic masculinity argument and how we're supposed to believe that the first gentleman, the vice president's husband is the model for future masculinity, right? Because he's willing to step back and let his wife be in control and support a strong woman and forget the fact that he's potentially diddling the babysitter or whatever he did in his last marriage. I mean, we don't know, but is that not... There was a time when that was toxic masculinity, that you'd be cheating on your wife with the babysitter, but we're willing to overlook all that if you now refute all of that and claim that you've rejected those terrible ways.
Just like in so many situations, we've swung the pendulum too far over. We try to correct, and then it goes way too far, and it gets out of control, and then we try to correct that again, and it just goes back and forth. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens under a Trump administration, because these companies, Lamar Jackson in this case, can create whatever scent he wants, or stores can put out more unisex clothing or unisex scents that work, I guess, for men and women. But will they sell as well? Will they be as appealing to people? We've already seen some changes in stores like Target.
Maybe this is it. They've been trying to feminize the NFL because you're not allowed to touch the quarterbacks anymore, right? These guys would never survive in the night. Terry Bradshaw did amazing things at a time when a quarterback literally took their life in their hands during every game, and he still crushed all these records. And these days, you know, they talk about how great these quarterbacks are. You're barely allowed to touch them.
So you can obviously sack them because we see that happen. But
maybe,
you're saying that's because I mean, I know they're not supposed to go after the quarterback specifically, but
they
I didn't realize that wasn't always a thing.
They can slide and lay down, and nobody's supposed to touch him or target him or hit him too hard. You know, maybe wearing ladies' perfume for Lamar Jackson is designed to, just before the guy hits him, he gets a whiff of that, and he realizes that he doesn't want to be a toxic man, so he avoids the hit at the last minute.
That might be the secret. He could just hose it, basically bathe in it.
But my point is,
before he goes out on the
field.
That's
what they wanted you to believe, that toxic masculinity led to women being abused and all of this stuff, instead of men being the traditional, strong, active, proactive, masculine people that God meant us to be. I mean, it's not about abusing women. It's not what it's about.
They're experts at twisting everything.
Lamar Jackson, enjoy your lady's perfume. I'll stick to my Old Spice. Thank you very much. All right. All right, coming up, we're going to get to our tickets to give away for Toto, and we'll talk to our friends Jesse Jane Duff and Tom Ackerman. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.